everybody. With Bob Christopher and Richard Pfeiffer, I'm Bob Davis, and this is Basic Gospel. We're live right now, so you can be a part of the broadcast and pose your question or seek direction for the real-life issues you face. We invite your calls right now to 1-800-677-9377. Word of God reveals true freedom and life in Jesus Christ. It's Basic Gospel, and it intersects with your life every day. We want to hear from you, so give us a call right now, 1-800-677-9377. Now here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thank you, Bob. Most of us growing up in Christian homes probably are familiar with the song and the phrase that Jesus Christ paid a debt for us that we could not pay for ourselves. It's a wonderful truth, but I don't know if we really know exactly what that means. And that's the subject of today's post on our blog site, Jesus Christ Paid Your Debt. Most of us are familiar with debt. If we live in America, that's how we buy things. We go into debt for them.
Yeah.
If you own a home, you're in debt for that home. If you own a car, you're probably making car payments. If you have clothes in your closet, they're probably been charged to a credit card, and we're all paying debt on those particular items and interest. And there's a big push, and thank goodness for guys like Dave Ramsey and other financial gurus who are making getting out of debt a priority. And there's a way to do that. There are plans that you can follow, and if you follow them very carefully, you can see the light at the end of the tunnel and actually get out of the tunnel at a point in time. And people, thousands of people all across America, are getting out of debt and enjoying that financial freedom. But when it comes to sin, there's no way that we can work our way out of that debt. Those sins just continue to add up, and there's no amount of money, there's no amount of good works, there's no amount of anything that we can bring to the table that is going to reduce that debt. When we sin, we're in God's debt. There's justice, there's a penalty, there's punishment. That punishment is death. Now, we could die for our sins, but once we're dead, that's it.
Yeah.
That is it. There's nothing after that. Or we could have somebody else pay the debt for us. And that's what Christ did at the cross. He took our sins upon himself. He died in our place. And then in exchange, he gave us his righteousness. I love what Paul said in 2 Corinthians 5:21, God made him who knew no sin to be sin for us. So somehow spiritually, God took our sins off of us, our debt, placed it upon Jesus. Jesus paid the debt in full. Then he was raised to life. And in that resurrection, he justifies us and gives us his very righteousness. So our debt has been paid in full by Jesus Christ. Boy, if that's not good news, I don't know what is. And so when we sin tomorrow, you know, we're all going to sin, aren't we? Something's going to happen. We're going to say something. We're going to think something. We're going to do something. Well, you think, well, am I in God's debt again? Well, no. And the reason is because Jesus already saw that sin. We weren't thinking about it. We don't think about future sins. We just are worried about, you know, up to right now. You know, has that been taken care of? And the answer to that is yes, it has. That debt has been paid. Jesus paid it for us, paid it in full. So we're not worried about tomorrow. But tomorrow's going to come, and with tomorrow, more sins. And we're thinking, oh no, I'm back into God's debt. I've got to do something to get out of that debt. But no, Jesus has already paid it. He's paid it in full. He saw all of your sins from the first one to the last one. And his blood took away every single one, was sufficient payment for it all. So we can thank God that Jesus Christ has paid our debt once and for all. And in exchange, he gave us his righteousness. Absolutely. That's good news. That's Basic Gospel.
That's Basic Gospel paid in full. And we invite your calls to be a part of the broadcast at 1-800-677-9377. 1-800-877-9377. Plenty of time, plenty of open lines. We await your calls, 1-800-677-9377. And friends, we hope that you have engaged in this 28-day forgiveness challenge that we've initiated. And if you have not, it's still not too late. All you need to do is go online to basicgospel.net, and we encourage you to do that. Click subscribe to join our email list. Sign up today and receive daily radio broadcasts, blog posts, and other ministry updates, including the blog that Bob Christopher posts every day in this 28-day forgiveness challenge. So take advantage of it. That's subscribe at basicgospel.net. Guys, had a very encouraging email from Keith, who lives in Rockdale, Texas, that I wanted to share with you and the listeners. It's not a question. It's just a testimony of what this ministry has done. He says, "I've been working with outlaws and guys on the down and out for about 27 years, and your ministry has helped so many of them, you wouldn't believe it. Some of these guys have gone on and done great, while others are hard cases that God still lets me deal with. But sometimes it's rough, and you feel like you're all alone dealing with all that. So it means a lot to have you all in the same struggle. I just thank God for letting me be a part of it and for letting me see the wonderful things His love and grace does. It's just amazing some of the things He does, how He has put up with me and is still teaching me after all these years. God's love, there's nothing like it. Many thanks to you all." That's from Keith in Rockdale, Texas. Wonderful testimony, I thought.
That is a wonderful testimony, and boy, he is spot on as far as the love of Jesus Christ is concerned. There is nothing like it. I, you know, have this book called Love Is, and it's about 1 Corinthians 13, and every once in a while somebody will ask me to sign it. And that's one of the things that I write in there. There's nothing better in life than knowing and experiencing the love of Jesus Christ. And one thing that we learn as we trust it is that His love never fails. His love never falls away. His love never gives way to another plan. God's love is always the plan. It's plan A, and there's no other plan after that. So if God's going to be involved in something, and He's involved in everything, then His love is going to be front and center. And that's ultimately going to be the way to freedom, the way of reward as far as our souls are concerned, the way of contentment, the way of peace and joy, and all of those things that we so desperately want in life. They come through abiding in this wonderful, miraculous, never-ending, limitless supply of God's love.
Yeah. Keith, hope you're listening. We appreciate so much hearing from you, and the fact that the ministry and what you've heard of the message has made a difference in your life and in the lives of those that you have been ministering with.
Yeah, it's interesting when you look at world events and current events, and boy, there is really a volatile situation going on right outside of St. Louis in the town of Ferguson. As a young boy, 18 years of age, I think Michael Brown was shot by a police officer there. We don't know all the details of that story. There's one side from an eyewitness. There's the police side of that and how it escalated to that point where shots were fired. But that was the catalyst for incredible riots in a very tense situation. Throughout this week, I mean, cops and citizens were just at each other. I mean, rocks were being thrown, tear gas was being, thrown at the protesters. People were being arrested. The media was threatened if they didn't leave, that they would be arrested as well. It was just an amazing thing. And out of nowhere, seemingly, the governor steps in and says, "We're going to realign the chain of command." And he put the Missouri State Patrol in charge, and the head guy came in there and just calmed the situation down and brought peace to a very volatile, tense situation. Now, it's not over,
sure,
but the whole tenor of that situation has changed. And when you look at that, you're going to have to say what ultimately is going to solve those things is love.
Yeah.
There's nothing else that can bring conflicting parties together. And that love has to be rooted in forgiveness. There's some hurt there. There's some raw emotions there. There is some deep pain. And this has just kind of surfaced it. And for those things to go away and for harmony to be restored, forgiveness has to be the foundation on which healing can take place. And that forgiveness has to be rooted in what Jesus Christ did. We just can't make up forgiveness. We can't make up what that is. We have to look at what Jesus Christ accomplished for us. And when he forgave us, he took the initiative. Oftentimes in our minds, we think, I'm not going to forgive anybody until they come to me. They tell me they're sorry. They get down on their knees. They grovel. They beg. They plead. And all of those sort of things. And if I feel like they're sincere enough, then maybe I will extend forgiveness to them. That's how we humans think. That's not the way God thinks. And praise the Lord for that. He took the initiative. He reached out to us first. In extending that forgiveness does something inside of our hearts. It produces repentance. God's kindness leads us to repentance. And in situations, volatile situations like that, volatile situations in our own life, in relationships, we need an infusion of the love of God, initiated by God, initiated by the Lord Jesus Christ himself, that can stop us dead in our tracks and change the way we're thinking about the situation. And when that occurs, then we can, tap into the very mind of Jesus Christ. We have the mind of Christ if we're believers, and we can get his perspective on this and his directives on how to proceed. So love is always the answer, and that love is always built upon the foundation of forgiveness and the cross of Jesus Christ, where God demonstrated his love for us.
Absolutely. Well, it is Forgiveness Month, and I've got a question here that gets into that, and it's going to stir the pot, I'm sure. So let's get into it. This is from David, who found us on oneplace.com. He says, hello, I listened to your broadcast on the 11th of August called Their Sins and Lawless Acts I Will Remember No More, and you seem to imply, and your belief was, that as a Christian, we no longer need to say sorry to God anymore for our sins, that when we become saved, it's the devil making us feel guilty, that we should just carry on living in the promise that our sins are forgiven, covered at the cross, that we shouldn't feel guilty, and we should not have to confess them. Your thoughts have some truth to them, but as Christians, we sin daily and still need to come to God through Christ and confess our sins and say, sorry, please forgive me. Yes, our sins are covered by the cross, past, present, and future. But we sin daily, and we need to confess these before God for daily cleansing, not in order to receive eternal life, but to maintain fellowship with Christ and God and the Holy Spirit. Otherwise, we can grieve the Holy Spirit. Our conscience can become seared over sin, and we can't be used by God in his church. Scripture says, if we sin, we have an advocate with the Father, and the blood of Jesus cleanses us from all sin. King David sinned, committing adultery and murder. He was unaware of his sin. But when confronted with it, he acknowledged his sin. But we must keep short accounts with God. Jesus intercedes for us daily, but when we do sin, we still need to confess it and come to the cross for forgiveness. Sin is terrible in the eyes of God. If we have just the attitude of thinking, oh, I sinned today, and just ignore it, don't feel guilty over it, and just carry on, then sooner or later, sin becomes a normal thing in your life, and your conscience is seared. Yes, I'm forgiven by the blood, but daily acknowledging your sin and moving on, to say otherwise is not scriptural. That's from David, who found us on oneplace.com.
Well, interesting commentary. I picked up the phrase, seems to imply. And again, he's just projecting on us what he thinks that we are saying. He hadn't listened to what we're saying. He just listened to one broadcast. And in that broadcast, it seems that we are implying. We've never implied any of that. We have never stated any of some of the things that he is stating there. Sin is a serious thing. That's why it took the blood of Jesus Christ to deal with it. It's not a mistake. We think of sins are just mistakes. I just recently, in the last couple of years, somebody said, you know, he just committed some mistakes. It's like, no, let's call it what it is. It's sin, period. And sin had to be dealt with, and sin was dealt with by Jesus Christ once and for all, and he dealt with it in the most severe way possible. He judged it, and he said the sentence was death, and he stepped into our shoes and took the punishment for us. That's what Jesus did, and so we have to start right there. What did Jesus do with our sin? And then we'll figure out what we're supposed to do when we sin. If I hurt somebody's feelings, does that make me feel awful about myself and my choice to hurt that person's feelings? Absolutely. Did it hurt my feelings when I did that before knowing Jesus? Absolutely not. I was glad I did it. But now that Christ is alive, living inside of me, now that I have a new heart, now that I have been joined to God's Spirit and that we are one in spirit, when I do something that brings harm or injury or pain to another individual, I feel yucky about that. And I realized I've missed the mark of love. Well, what am I going to do? I can't change what's been done. I can't reverse time and say, do this over. It's been done. I've hurt this person's feelings. I've hurt my wife's feelings. I've brought pain, sorrow, injury into her life. Well, what does that sin deserve? Well, that sin deserves death. Yeah. The wages of sin is death. Now, either I'm going to pay that penalty or somebody else is going to pay it for me. Jesus Christ paid the penalty for me. He took my death. And that's what the Holy Spirit reminds me of in just right after that sin. Jesus took the punishment for that sin. Jesus died in your place. And in exchange, he gave you his righteousness. You are in right standing with God. You belong to God. You are in his favor. You are in his grace. You are in his love right at this very moment. And that just blows your mind. And then in that truth, you say, Lord, how do I go back to my wife, whom I've hurt, whom I've brought injury into her life? What do I do with her? How do I make that right? And God's Spirit leads you down that path. It could be just a conversation. It could be, hey, I blew it. I'm sorry. It could be you taking the initiative to bring it up and say, hey, I know I've hurt you, and will you forgive me? That sort of thing, one to another. But the Holy Spirit will lead you, and you can count on that. When you grieve the Holy Spirit is when you say, Lord, no, I don't want to go back and make it right with my wife. She deserved it, and I'm just going to stand firm in my position. That's when you grieve the Holy Spirit. Why? Because the Holy Spirit is moving you to be reconciled. And if you're choosing to say, I don't want to be reconciled, that's when you grieve the Holy Spirit. Yeah. So we have to come to grips with the fact that we are forgiven people. The moment a person receives Jesus Christ, they receive forgiveness of sins. Period. End of story. You can argue about that. You can fuss about that. You can say, hey, that just doesn't make sense to me. Well, so what? It yeah. doesn't change truth. Yeah. Truth is truth. When you receive Christ, you receive forgiveness of sins, period. That's what Peter said to Cornelius and his family. All who believe in Jesus, who receive him, receive forgiveness of sins. And Peter was talking to Gentiles, yeah. people he despised, people that he never believed could be forgiven in the same way that they were. But as he pronounced the gospel to Cornelius and his family and all who were gathered in that house with him, he said to these Gentiles, you who receive Jesus, at that very moment, you receive forgiveness of sins. When the paralytic was lowered down in front of Jesus, Jesus looked at him and said, son, your sins are forgiven. That's what Jesus says to us. Believe it. Count on it to be true. Reckon it so. Live in that forgiveness. That gives you an opportunity to allow the grace of God to do its work inside of you when you sin, and to correct that or let the love of God absorb that in such a way that the relationship, the person that you've harmed, the person that you've injured, actually gets built up and encouraged in that whole process of reconciliation and restoration.
Yeah. Well, interesting answer to this particular email, and we hope the listener is listening and will take that to heart. Right now, if you have something you'd like to discuss, a question about forgiveness, give us a call, 1-800-677-9377. Still some time on the clock, and we have time to hear from you. 1-800-677-9377.
I'd like to also add a couple of things.
Mm-hmm.
We say that we have no condemnation. And we say, and he reported accurately, that God is not bringing the charge against us. And he says that's not true. Well, the Bible is explicit about it, that it is true. You know, the whole point of Romans 8 is to explain to us that there is no condemnation because of what Jesus has done. And I love this little section in verses 33 and 34. Who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? He just leaves the question hanging there, because you know his answer is Satan does, because it is God who justifies. Who then is the one who condemns? Satan does. Christ Jesus, who died more than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us. Every time you feel guilty, every time you feel condemned, every time you feel like God is a million miles away, it's because you're listening to the enemy instead of listening to the indwelling Holy Spirit.
The wrong voice.
We need truth.
We need truth.
Will set us free. Well, let's go to the Bronx and let's talk to Fiona. Hi, Fiona. You're on the air.
Hi, good afternoon. I have a question on the topic of forgiveness.
Okay. Ask away.
And sure. I'm glad this topic is basic gospel. My question is this. I still have some confusion regarding what I've heard on basic gospel, stating that as a child of God, once you've accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you're forgiven for all your sins. I understand that. But what I need clarified is, are you saying that, for example, I steal something? Are you saying that I should not, go and pray, Father, please forgive me for I have sinned? Are you saying that I should operate under the fact that, okay, I steal something now that I'm already forgiven? I don't need to go and pray and ask for forgiveness?
Well, Fiona, God has come to live inside of you, and he is pouring out his love into your heart, and he wants that love to be expressed to others. Now, if you're stealing something, you're not loving the people that you're stealing from. So what's the corrective measures to that? Well, Paul gives it in Ephesians chapter 4. As a matter of fact, he addresses that very issue. He says, you who have been stealing, steal no longer. Go to work. Do something useful with your hands so that you may have something to share with those in need. That's an attitude of love. If you're stealing from somebody, you're not loving them. And that's the whole issue. And God wants you, Fiona, to be a vessel of his love in this world. So if you stole something, you can give it back to the person. You can make restitution to the person. But there is a bigger issue at hand. You're not trusting the Lord for your needs. So go to work. Do something useful with your hands so that you may have something to share with others. That's what the Bible says to do with stealing. Very simple, isn't it?
Okay.
So you agree, when you steal something, you agree that you stole something. You agree that that's harmful to other people, that that's not an act of love. And so you trust the Spirit of God to work a corrective measure in your life. It's just that simple. And you can trust him because you know he's already taken care of your sin, the forgiveness part of it. He's already paid the debt. The punishment has been taken, Jesus took it. Well, Fiona, we're out of time. Let me put you on hold. We'll send you a copy of a booklet called Forgiveness, The Door to Life.
Well, thanks for joining us, everybody. Now for Bob Christopher, Richard Pfeiffer, and the ministry team, I'm Bob Davis, inviting you to join us again on Monday for another edition of Basic Gospel.